back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
It's a good thing I did not wear my Sudbury dinner jacket, Marty. We would look like twins, Shayna and I, right now if I had come blazing in with the black and red. But it's great to see you, Shayna. How are you?
I'm great. Yeah, I feel like I needed that fall energy. And I also wanted to like channel the goat heads a little bit because I think that's what the Sabre season's missing.
Well, I mean, we're missing quite a bit right now. But the weather in Buffalo is at an all-time perfect right now. Sun and not a cloud in the sky. So it's beautiful. Which I said, you know what? Sabres lost 2 games. They gave up 12 goals, scored 9, but the sun did come up today. So Shayna,
isn't that what they said on a Mets broadcast this year? After one of their most brutal losses, like they were trying. This is the energy you're giving me right now.
But you're saying the Mets are still alive, although they lost yesterday, but they're still in it. So that's the thing. Okay. So there's some bad, there's some good, there's probably some ugly with all of it. I mentioned that I feel like the Sabres are reverting to old habits, right? They got punched in the mouth in Pittsburgh and then again in Columbus, and their natural instincts is reverting to some bad habits and something that the coaches are going to have to work really hard with this group. Do you know what some of those habits would be other than just saying the turnovers, the puck management? Like I look again last night, a lot of it is on the rush, not a lot of zone time. Like, is this still a big issue for the Sabres?
Yeah, it feels like it. And I mean, I'm sure it's hard after that Penguins game too, because you think, well, we stayed in it with a team that has playoff aspirations. And then you go play Columbus, who everybody knows is probably in for a top 5 pick. So you look at it and, you know, I think it's easy to get complacent with that. But yeah, I think that you definitely need to generate a lot more in the zone. You need to make plays. You need to play defense in the offensive zone. I feel like it's like the most underrated part of defense is talking about defense in the offensive zone and making those plays to extend your zone time and holding the puck at the blue line and forechecking to get possession again, and just protecting the puck to maintain possession. And it's those little elements that I think that they can definitely work on. You're seeing a couple lines add a little bit of spark in the offensive zone. And I think someone like Jordan Greenway surprised me. You look at some of his numbers, you know, there's a couple games. So if we say scoring rates, they're going to be like incredibly inflated. But right now it's, you know, his start is a better pace than he's ever had in his career. And he's shooting the puck a lot more than he has in the past. And he's going for that quality offense more than he has in the past. Because when you look at his success in Minnesota, he was kind of the passenger to Foligno and Eriksson Ek. And now he's taken over a little bit more. So you're seeing him have a huge impact on the Sabres quality offense, but there's a lot of trouble back in his own zone, which is, I think, the more surprising part of it, because we know he's so good defensively. So if he can now marry the two strengths together, that would be great, but you need the work there.
The shots on goal for Rasmus Dahlin are just under 2 shots per game right now. Again, small sample. They've only played 6 times. The points are not coming for anyone on the power play yet, as they are 0 for 17. But we did spend a fair amount of time talking with you prior to puck drop on this season about pairings, and partnerships, and forging ahead in this new world where you have a full season of Bo Byram, a full season of Owen Power, a full season of Rasmus Dahlin, all in that same group of 6. Like, that's a lot of high-end offensive potential. Where are we at here through 6 games with this group of 6?
So I think Dahlin, at times you're seeing him just be okay, which is a start, right? I think altogether so far, 5-on-5, he has a good impact on the team's defense relative to his teammates, which is a pretty low bar because the defense has been pretty rough from a lot of the other skaters. Yep. But the offense isn't matching it. Him with Power, they were paired together a bit at 5-on-5. They had no puck luck whatsoever. So I think the results looked worse than what the underlying play showed. But the underlying play wasn't as high octane as you'd expect from two players with those capabilities. And maybe sometimes you need more time to gel. I think the surprise to me is I don't mind Dahlin with Joki Haru, when generally I would say that's a player you don't want going up against top competition. I think they have like 70 minutes together and they're on the ice for about 60% of the expected goal share, which is a promising start. And the team has the results in those minutes. I don't want to say saddle Dahlin with Joki Haru, but if you can kind of mitigate his weaknesses and let the pairs below him kind of shine. Maybe it works because I think Dahlin's a good enough player that he can make up for what his partner might lack.
And when you look at the defense, though, Byram has had a tough go with power. Like, the numbers are just not good. And last night was a really good example of that. And then you had to change something. And I think Connor Clifton has had a good start this season, but Matthias Samuelsson, a very underperforming start to the season. I know that Bryson and Gilbert are waiting to get in. Gilbert got in when the Sabres played 11-7. Would you go 11-7 at Chicago tomorrow to say, let's bring some new energy on the back end, and you know what? Let's put it on the line and say, hey, a few, and then maybe that mortgages your forwards, but you get more ice time for Thompson and for the Peterka and for the guys that maybe can lead the way.
Generally speaking, I hate 11-7 because I think your pairs can't gel. And I think your forward lines get a little bit tricky. Against a team like Chicago, though, why not? Especially because, like you said, you're going to get more minutes for those top guys. And I wonder if that will help them get on track a little bit more. Because Tage Thompson looks really good. Peterka is back in the lineup, and he has brought a spark in a very, very, very short time. And even guys like Dylan Cousins, it's not terrible. Like, Cousins looks pretty good defensively. But the offense, it feels like he has no puck luck right now. He's even shooting the puck more than he generally does, which helps add to his puck-moving abilities. Why not kind of lean on those guys and put the pressure to them a bit? As long as everyone's healthy enough, right? Like Peterka and Benson, you don't want to over-leverage them if they're not 100% yet, and that would be my one concern. But on defense, why not try to change it up? Because what you have right now is not working. You know, like the Clifton-Samuelsson pairing. You have two defensive defensemen together. And sometimes on a team that works as a second pair, right? Because we're seeing sometimes the number ones not get top competition because they're better off having their minutes maximized so they can play to their strengths on both ends of the ice. And the second pair becomes that matchup minutes shutdown pair. Can that work? Yes. But your top pair needs to be so good, so high octane. And the third pair, I think, needs to be so offensive that it all clicks together. And that's not happening right now. So I worry about that likeness of the two being together. Why not try to just interchange and try to see what clicks against a team like Chicago? It's totally different than saying, yeah, you're going to try that against Edmonton.
Well, the Hawks have, to their credit, played pretty well here out of the blocks and obviously come in off of a win over San Jose. So they will host Buffalo tomorrow night. It's made more interesting, I think, this discussion about potentially 11-7 when one considers and revisits the scratch that happened last night, and that was Jack Quinn. So if you take a position away and presumably are still trying to get Quinn back in, and again, this gets trickier to rearrange based on the fact the Sabres are averaging almost 5 goals a game over the last 3 games, like, Marty, you might even want to start with this. Like, where do we put Quinn back into the equation? Do you start making other changes amidst the forward group? And, oh, by the way, just to put your punctuation mark on Dylan Cousins and his puck luck, he is 0-22 this year. No goals, 22 shots. Only Dougie Hamilton has more shots in the NHL without registering a goal. Hamilton is at 24.
Yeah,
Marty.
So I think you have to put Jack Quinn back in. Because, look, you had scored 5 against Florida, 5 against Pittsburgh. Yeah, Jack Quinn was not playing like the Jack Quinn that we know he can. But I think a lot of that responsibility...
We loved him against Florida. The Cousins
we loved him against Florida.
It was the talk of that night.
Started to get... First period was great. I think Jack Quinn, though, is... Okay, Dylan Cousins is not creating offensively, and he's not helping Jack Quinn, right? And we saw that Benson with Talkin' Thompson had more chance.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
chances, and then he goes with Cousins, and it's not the same thing, although Kulik scored. I'm almost starting to think that if you want to reinsert Jack Quinn in the lineup, you got to start maybe mixing your lines up a little bit, because to help him, like maybe you got to get him away from playing with Dylan Cousins. You got to help him a little bit. Shane, I don't know if that makes sense, because Paterka, Thompson are doing well. Greenway offensively is doing well. So do you mortgage the way other guys are playing so that you can get Jack Quinn going offensively?
Yeah, because you know you can always put them back, right? It's the early goings of the season. And as much as I feel like the Bedard line in Chicago is performing, we know they have those defensive flaws. So that, I think, should open the door to it if you're going to test it right there. I would have no problem with it. I think Tage is showing that he is Tage Thompson, the best French player in the world right now. He is showing he has all that and more. And it's not just on the power play, right? He looks really good at 5-on-5. He doesn't have a goal on the power play. And I kind of love that for him, because I think sometimes when someone succeeds on the power play, it's that confidence boost that trickles into 5-on-5 play. But if you're driving play at 5-on-5 the way he is so far, you're not as worried, right, about everything else, because the most important part of the game is being taken care of. I think that you can separate the two and say, let Paterka be that spark plug for Cousins, because I think we know he has that capability to do it, especially because he's picking up where he left off last year. It felt like he was so good no matter where you put him, and he can just add a little bit of jump and be the guy and be the driver, which generally speaking, you want it to be your center. But if Cousins can't drive his own line right now, let Paterka take some of that burden off of him. I don't even have a problem if you go Paterka, Cousins, Quinn and say, start that way. But yeah, you can definitely mix and match. It's so early in the season and you don't know what's going to click. You're under different coaches. You have systematic tweaks, like figure out those new combinations, because it's better to figure them out now than in March be like, now we need to start trying new things. Everything's stale.
Power play or penalty kill is more worrisome right now. The penalty kill is 15 for 21. The power play is 0 for 17. Giving up 6 goals on 21 is not good for the penalty kill, but the power play is not producing anything. So what is more worrisome to you?
Power play. The penalty kill, I don't think, is that bad. I think the goaltending has not helped them, honestly. I think the quality chances against have not been as dire. And I also like the offensive spark that they've been adding while they're shorthanded. I think that can bring a lot of momentum. The power play is the more deflating one if you don't convert. So, and it was such a problem last year after being so good the year before. So I definitely have a little bit more of a concern for that, because they have all the talent, right? Like they have the personnel. It's just figuring out how to make them click. And I know they don't want it that it's, they're going to rely on Tage every time for a one-timer to score, but maybe that's what you need to do to start going, especially because he looks so good at 5-on-5 and you're looking at him going, well, he's not playing through an injury like it seemed last year. That would be my opinion, focus on the power play. And I know with the new coach, right, you don't focus on special teams to start the year. Your focus is going to be 5-on-5. And then as you start clicking and grasping onto those tactics, then you focus on special teams. But I think knowing that this is a more than year long problem, it can get more deflating than it would be if it was just a bad start.
Would you like to go around the NHL with us quickly?
Let's go.
There are 4 players in the league who have an active 5-game point streak. Who are they?
Active 5-game
Marty, you can help this.
Okay.
Lafreniere, I think, is one. No. Nope. Is it Panarin?
Nope.
Kucherov?
Nope.
No, he's only played 3 games, so he can't. He's only played 3
I'm thinking active. I'm thinking from last season. Okay.
No, five game streak already this year.
I was going to say, but Tuck had a 4 game, and then did he not have a point yesterday?
Panarin has 4 straight multi-point games, but he does not have an active 5-game streak.
5 game. Seamus Casey.
Nope.
Jeez.
Wow.
I was not expecting to exhaust the entire segment with this question. This is amazing.
These numbers.
Who has played 5 games?
Eichel, Stone, Wyatt Johnston, and the reason I'm asking the question,
Evgeny
Sam
Malkin.
Reinhardt.
Broberg in St. Louis.
Oh my God, that's right.
This is awesome because, first of all, Joel Hofer had an amazing secondary assist on the game winner in overtime last night, but Broberg was right in the middle of it, and I think just especially because you don't love the Blues. I thought I would throw that into the mix here. So the
other one is, that was exciting, though.
It was exciting. I mean, for a 1-0 game, like, obviously it was just, you know, look, Neighbors was such a good story for St. Louis last year. This is his first OT winner. This is great. There's one more that I'm obligated to mention all the time, Marty, and he is still very much in the race for the Rocket. Paul Cotter won off the league lead. He's got 5 goals this year, so let's keep her going, Paul.
Woo! Yeah, Dylan Gunther and Paul Cotter, but Kucherov is saying, hold my beer. I got 6 goals in 3 games, and they're exciting. Nashville couldn't beat the Oilers yesterday. They've not looked good
all. So, Shayna, Nashville or Colorado?
That's the question. This or that, Shayna? This or that?
Nashville. Colorado, their defensive breakdowns and the goaltending looks really bad, and I think you're seeing it get to Gurriev. He looks so over-aggressive. But Nashville at 5-on-5 does not look good, and I want to account for the roster turnover because you're bringing in so many different players. I think that's the Oilers' problem because you look at them and you're like, look how many players exited the lineup and now new faces that came in. You have to account for both things. Nashville at 5-on-5 legitimately does not look good at all in any of these games. I don't think Saros has looked as sharp as he can, and I'm not really worried there. And I think Brady Shea has gotten off to a brutal, brutal start. I think he has one of the worst average game scores in the entire league right now.
I think we should have seen it coming, though, because Nashville last year were 31-30-3, and then they had a 16-0-2 streak. They were
but they
one game
facing a 5-on-5 set streak.
I know, but they had, I get that, but other than
Marty,
that
streak, that's why they addressed it the way they did. Like, let's know, be better than average and bring in 3 really good players, and it hasn't worked yet.
It hasn't worked, but I think there's a system issues in Nashville that needs to be corrected. They were one game over 500 other than that streak last year, and now it's creeping in again this season.
So my hot take with that is about Andrew Brunette. My biggest criticism with Andrew Brunette and why I did not think he should be the Panthers coach after he finished the year was I did not think he was ready to be a head coach. I think he was handled a well-oiled machine, and when it started to falter, he did not know how to correct it. And I thought he really impressed me last year in Nashville because I was like, I feel like he learned from his mistakes, but it's like, you might have finished there, but you're not necessarily going to pick up where you left off. So I'm really curious now if he's learned how to be a little bit more adaptable and if he has the answers when things are going wrong, because it's not just bad luck. It's not that they're not finishing their chances, is that they don't actually look good. So what can you do with these new players to take last year's well-oiled machine and continue it to this year?
Yeah, the challenge, of course, is not just bringing in new players. You're legitimately bringing in 2 of the top individual goal scorers in recent memory in Marchessault and Stamkos. And it no matter what you tell them, they just have to find a comfort zone themselves. And then, lo and behold, the coaching is going to look a lot better. That's usually how it works. Last one. Oh, yeah, I needed to throw out an apology to Seattle because I said a week ago they can't score. They've scored 18 times in winning 3 of their last 4. And because you're good for a wisecrack or 2, both of you, how would you describe the play of Ivan Fedotov with Philadelphia?
Yikes.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was going to say, what was my initial thought on Fedotov when he came into Buffalo for his first start? Can't really move. He's big. We're seeing he can't really move right now. Like, they just...
Good thing they have Urson. It's a good thing they have...
Was that Kolosov will probably get a start or 2 in the next month here because they need to see what he's got before he goes back to Russia.
Shayna, thank you, as always. We'll see you on the air with us soon.
Thanks for having me.
Shayna Goldman from The Athletic will wrap Sabres Live after this.